serve a great God, don't we?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ."
Replacement this week, and on the 25th, right? And so we need to keep her in mind on the 25th of this month for her knee replacement. Let me know how that goes, because my wife's having the same thing here shortly, and I'll have to. That's what I'm going to have. Because I know how that's going to work. Need to remember that. Also, I want to mention a couple of things. Don't forget about Saturday. I still need a few more cooks. We got a few coming in. If you plan on buying something for the breakfast, Saturday, get with Mary over here, because Mary's already on the list, and I think, did y'all go out and buy it already? Okay, so if you need, get with them, and so I think Roy's got some stuff that he can bring instead, and so so work that out. Well, I'm going to open the doors at 6:30, but you need to be cooking by 7 so that we can eat by 8. Notice I said, so we can eat by 8? Yeah, and if I can find enough helpers, then I don't have to cook. So that's a good thing there. That's a good thing. But we've got some that have already volunteered and that are going to be there and be a part of that. It should be a great time, and we're going to do it again in October for an Arrowhead breakfast for a lot of the churches in the area. So we'll do it again in October. So this is kind of a practice run, I guess, for us. To prepare and to get everything ready. We're going to have scrambled eggs and bacon and sausage and hash browns, and we're going to have pancakes, and we're going to have all the good stuff, none of the garbage stuff like fruit or anything like that. We want only good stuff, okay? Only good stuff. Yeah, and so if you can't make it to cook, hey, make it to come and eat. All right, so that's this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I hope that all of the men will be there and be a part of that. I really, really do. I want to talk to you today about sacrifice. Sacrifice. And I want you to remember and go back in your mind all the way back to Genesis. All the way back to Genesis. What is the wages of sin? Death. Death. And in the Old Testament, a sin sacrifice had to be a blood offering. Had to be a death offering. That's one of the reasons why Cain got in trouble with his sacrifice. Now, a lot of people say that Cain just didn't offer his best or whatever it was, because Cain was a farmer. But if he was offering up a sin sacrifice, the command was that he had to offer up a death sacrifice. He had to put an animal to death. He had to drain the blood from the animal. All those things had to happen in order to be a sin sacrifice. And that's what I think it was. Now, understand that's what I think it was. I think that was a sin sacrifice, and he didn't offer up a sin sacrifice. And so his sacrifice was cursed, where his brother's sacrifice was blessed. Now, I laid the groundwork for that, just kind of an interesting groundwork, because in Hebrews chapter 10, it is taught to us that God did not desire blood sacrifice. It was something they had to do. But God didn't want that. What did God want instead? He wanted our obedience. He wanted our love for Him. He wanted us to do His will. That's what God desired. And the fact that we have to offer up these blood sacrifices because we fell short. We didn't do what God wanted us to do. And I can say we because that's all of us. There's not anyone here who has been totally and completely sinless in your entire life. Not anybody. With the exception of these little bitties. We have not been completely sinless. And therefore, the sacrifices that we are to give today are not blood sacrifices. Why? Because Jesus has already done that. Jesus has taken care of that for us. But what God desires from us today are called spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. This is entirely different from the blood sacrifice. Because the blood sacrifice was offered up by the priest for the nation. Now, spiritual sacrifices are us, within us. It is we who give the spiritual sacrifice to God. Now, I want to talk about that specifically because we oftentimes don't think about this, and more often than not, we don't do it. More often than not, we don't do it. I love the song that Manny led. I gave my life for thee. What have you given for me? That's the question. What have you given for me? What have your sacrifices been for God? What have you done? Do you expect God just to do everything for you? Because I want you to know there's a type of teaching, a type of preaching out there that is far from true. Far from true. But I think it's called prosperity gospel. Y'all heard that term before? It's where they preach that basically if you give God $100, God's going to then turn around and give you $1,000. That God is going to give you all these blessings, all these spiritual and physical blessings. He's going to just pour them on you constantly. Folks, there's nothing about us having spiritual or physical, blessings here on this earth. Some of us will be poor. Some of us will be wealthy. Some of us will have health issues. Some of us will not have health issues. Different things for different people. All of us will have our own issues, but realize this, that the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man had everything in this world. Lazarus had to beg. But when did Lazarus receive his blessing? It was in heaven. Not here on this earth. We should not expect it. And not only that, we should not be sitting back testing God. Saying, well, God, I gave you $100. Where's my $1,000? Folks, that's testing God. And what did Jesus tell Satan about that? Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. It's kind of like those individuals that dance around with poisonous snakes. They said, you know, if I don't put my poisonous snake, God's going to harm me. Don't test that. Don't test that. It's kind of like putting your finger in the light socket. If I put my finger in this light socket, God's going to harm me. Don't test that. Okay? Do not put God to the test. But realize that we have blessings here on this earth. And our blessings are spiritual blessings. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tells us very plainly that the fruits of the Spirit are love, peace, joy, kindness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering. All these things are fruits of the Spirit, and these are spiritual blessings that this earth cannot give you. I brought that up in our class this morning. I talked a little bit about it this morning. In that Solomon had everything that this world could give him. Everything. Still to this day, he is considered to have been the wealthiest person that ever walked the face of this earth. He had 1,000 women. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. He had 1,000 of them. He had 700 wives. He had 300 concubines. 1,000 women. But you know what he said? When he came down to it, and he realized that his own marriage, that he had everything this world could give, but what did that mean? Absolutely nothing. Because he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It means nothing if we don't have God. You cannot find joy on this earth if you don't have God. You cannot be happy on this earth if you don't have God. You cannot find contentment on this earth if you do not have God. It does not exist. Because this earth does not give you those things. It cannot happen. So Jesus sacrificed his life for you, so that you may have all the blessings that come down from God. Again, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. That doesn't mean a lot of these other things of this world, but it does mean this, that we'll have a place with him in heaven forever and ever and ever, and our gifts that we will receive are eternal and not fading away. This is what we hope for. But while we're here on this earth, I want you to realize that we have to understand this. We have to give God spiritual sacrifice. Not physical anymore. You're not taking a cow down to the altar. Unless the altar is a barbecue grill. We're not doing that. But what God wants is you. What God wants is your heart. And if you do the right things, you've got to realize that there are times that you will be giving spiritual sacrifice. Let's start out and let's look at a couple of things. First thing is that as we give spiritual sacrifice, we need to realize that we stand out in a crowd. We're not like everybody else. Nor should we strive to be like everybody else. But rather, we should strive that everybody else be like us. We should set the example. And as we set the example, I want you to realize this and understand that there will be people that will mock you. There will be people that will persecute you. There will be people that will say all manner of evil against you falsely for Jesus Christ's sake. Doesn't he tell his apostles that very same thing? Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. There will be times in your life where people are going to make fun of you because you come to worship. There will be times in your life when people make fun of you because you don't participate in the same things that they participate in. There's going to be times in your life when you're not going to be invited to things because you make them feel guilty. I've told you before, when I was growing up, I didn't participate in drugs and alcohol like most all of my friends did. And so there were times that they didn't call me and ask me to come to their parties. There were times that they didn't call me and ask me to participate. But they did call me every time my friends were too drunk to drive. Folks, you will be ridiculed. You will be put to the test. And I want you to know the fact that you stand out in a crowd, that you are not like everybody else, is a form of spiritual sacrifice. Stand out. Be proud. Boast in Jesus Christ, whose saving grace has saved us all from an eternity in hell. Stand out. Second, you will be persecuted. There will be people that will say all manner of evil against you falsely. My son, back several years ago when he was in college, this is before he was married, when he was in college, they were posting some things that supported, I don't know, what was it, homosexuality? And Chad just posted on his little Facebook account, and basically he just said, I don't agree with that. And he said, you would have thought that I had posted that we were going to assassinate the president. Because he got it from every direction. And he was shocked at how people reacted. I'm not. But I'm proud that he stood out. I'm proud he did what he did. We are a peculiar people. And there will be people that will insult you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. They will do it. They will say things about you. And these things happen, and they happen a lot. And folks, that's one of the reasons why I don't look at Facebook. because I really don't want to hear all the things people have to say about me. If you got something nice to say, come say it. If you got something mean to say, don't say it. I really don't want to hear it. What I want to hear is something that's uplifting. What I want to hear is something that God said. That's what I want to do. That's what I desire. Realize there will be people that will persecute you and insult you and say all manner of evil against you. All right? Look at this. We, as Christians, desire to avoid sin. Avoid it. Now, there are some things that you can do that can help you to avoid sin. Very good things. Number one, pray. Call upon God. I've told you this story before, but it goes into telling you again that there was an individual that I knew back in high school that he had all these plans about this date that he was going to go on and everything. And he was taking this girl out, first time that he'd taken her out, and he opened the car door for her, and she got in, and he shut the car, and as he was going around the car, he looked over and he saw her praying. And he said, that changed everything that I had planned for that entire evening. Folks, that's all it is. Number one, pray. We don't pray enough. And I think the reason why we don't pray enough, and I say we on that because I'm guilty, the reason we don't pray enough is because we don't realize the power that it calls on God, the Creator of all things, His eternal power, His eternal strength to come and help us, and He will. First is to pray. Second is to avoid it. Know where your weaknesses are. Don't put yourself in that position. If you know you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, stay away from drugs and alcohol. If you know you have a problem with bad language, stay away from people that use bad language. If you know you have a problem getting up on Sunday morning and coming to worship, call us. I'll get you a ride. We'll get you here. Number two is know where your weaknesses are. And number three, change your perspective. If sin is in your mind, if sin is in your heart, go do something else. If you're watching a television program that causes you to sin, then go do this. Watch something different. Or better yet, turn it off. There's nothing good on TV. Growing up, we had one channel. It came on at 6 a.m. It went off at midnight. There were good shows on it all day long. Now, we have over 200 channels. It's on 24/7. And there's not a thing on there fit to watch. No thing. Turn it off. Go outside. Work in the yard. If you need a place to work, call me. I have a yard that you can work in. We can get you hooked up. Do something different. Change your perspective. And the best way is just open that Bible and start to study. What a great advantage that is. Those things help you to avoid sin. Seek to avoid sin. This is something also that is different than the world. We are required to forgive others. You know how hard that is? My mother, bless her heart, you know, that's what you say in the South, you know. My mother, bless her heart, was a loving woman, a kind woman, sometimes. And she oftentimes would remember things that people did to her 60 years ago. The worst fights I ever had to break up as a high school principal were girl fights. I'll never forget. Boy fights, I could usually just holler at them and they'd quit. Girl fights won't do that. There was a girl fight that broke out in the cafeteria one day, and I ran over to break up the fight. They were in the hand of each other's hair, and they were not letting go. And I tried to get in between them and stop them. And while I was trying to stop them and get in between them, they went down to the ground and took me with them. I felt bad for the one I landed on. But we went down together. And I'm in a coat and tie. And I'm running on the ground trying to get them to stop. And I finally get them apart. And when I get them apart, I realize that one has a handful of hair and the other one has a handful of hair. And I look up, and those are girls. This is a mirror. This is a coach. Those are girls' basketball coach standing over me. You need some help? Yeah. I got them in their office, and I'm sweating. I got them in the office, and I sat them down, and I look at them. And I said, what caused this? And one of them said, she said this about me 3 years ago. 3 years ago? They said, yes. I said, that's ridiculous. Well, she said it. But guess what? Both of you know what to go home. Because I'm not going to put up with you any longer. So I sent them home. 3 hours they remembered. They didn't forget. They were elephants. They never forget. Well, I can tell you this. First, we've got to be forgiving. Because you know how? We're going to make a mistake. We're going to make a mistake. I know I've just said something to you women be saying, oh, that's not how it is. You know, it's the men that have the fights and stuff. Ladies, guys get in a fight and it's over in 5 minutes and they're best friends in 10. That's not the way it is with women. But I want you to know, we have to be forgiving. Because Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. He said, if you forgive others for their offenses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. Ever think of that? if you forgive others, God will forgive you. I need to be forgiven. But verse 15 is the kicker. If you don't forgive others, then God's not going to forgive you. That's the kicker. If you hold a grudge, then you are condemning yourself. Realize that. Be quick to forgive, slow to anger. Quick to forgive, slow to anger. And if I say anything that upsets you, please forgive me. But I want you to realize that I forgive you too. And that makes it to where God forgives all of us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We must be forgiving. This is not the way of the world. This is the way of Christians. This is a spiritual sacrifice. Look at this one. Again, not the way of the world. Love your enemies and pray for them. Do you pray for your enemies? And I'm not saying a prayer like, God send fire and brimstone down upon their head. That's not the prayer I'm saying here. Pray for them. Pray as Jesus did while he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray as Stephen said as he was being stoned to death. Lord, do not lay this sin upon their charge. You realize what kind of prayer that is? That is a prayer for them. And these people were true enemies of Christ. These people were true enemies of Stephen. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. We must do good, even to our enemies, to render help when help is needed, to serve each other, not just here in our community of believers, but out there in the community of non-believers. We must render to everyone, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who need to hear the words of salvation. We must do good to one another. Again, not of this world. But this is our spiritual sacrifice to God, to serve Him so that others may come to know His saving grace. In all things, we need to bless all people, even those who persecute us, even those who hate us. Bless and pray for all people. Everywhere. This is a command from God to bless those who persecute us. I want to finish with one verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Says this: He was saying to them all, if anyone is to come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow him. And notice I left out one word that's important. Pick up your cross how often? Daily. Daily. As we are the children of God, we still give sacrifice. Not in the way in which they did in the Old Testament. But we must give sacrifice in order so that others may see it and be drawn to God because of it. We are not like everybody else. We are different. We stand out in the crowd. And therefore, we should make sure that everything that we do is to the service of God. This is our spiritual sacrifice. This is the types of sacrifice that God wants us to do. Coming here this morning is a sacrifice. Being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin is a sacrifice. Going out into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature is a sacrifice. Do these things. Show how God lives in you. And be more than willing to sacrifice everything you have for God, because he sacrificed everything he had for you. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need for baptism, we ask you to come.